20. Reading from the New King James Version. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you, that he set you on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. The assurance of God's saving work. Chariots and horses, not the most common in our era, in our time, and yet a place in history where these were indeed commonplace. Chariots and horses of historic nature, and what of modern day chariots and horses? The imagery they portray and display. What might these represent? And whatever they represent, trust. Trust placed in these, confidence placed in these, reliance placed in these, faith placed in these. But there is a people. There are people that are remembering, recollecting, bringing to mind, a mindful people, a mentioning people. They know where their strength lies. Their chariot and horse. Chariots and horses are on and of a different level. For these, it's the Lord, the name of the Lord their God. The New Century Version reads, some trust in chariots, others in horses, but we trust the Lord our God. The Voice Bible, many put their hope in chariots, others in horses, but we place our trust in the name of the Eternal One, our true God. There are other words used here in other translations in place of trust, in place of hope. The NLT, some nations boast of their chariots and horses, but we boast in the name of the Lord our God. The NASB reads, some praise their chariots and some their horses, but we will praise the name of the Lord our God. Boasting and praising. Boasting of chariots, whatever they be. Whatever they be made of, and horses, whatever the breed. Praising chariots and horses. The Darby translation, some make mention of chariots and some of horses, but we of the name of Jehovah our God. And the Knox translation reads, let others talk of horses and chariots. Our refuge is in the name of our God. Relying on chariots and horses, reliance on these, even taking pride in these. I love how the message reads. It says, see those people polishing their chariots and those others grooming their horses, but we are making garlands for God our God. The chariots will rust, those horses pull up lame, and we'll be on our feet standing tall. Polishing and grooming. Well, nothing wrong with this and nothing wrong with these if the measure and if the manner be pure, and yet here, not pure. Voices calling out, voices calling on and calling upon. You know, no one is arguing the fact that there is strength in chariots and horses, that there is power in even a single chariot and horse. There is. And does the Bible not say, Proverbs 21, 31, the horse is prepared against the day of battle? The New King James Version, the horse is prepared for the day of battle. And so prep the chariot, prep the horse, and it's this state of remembrance, even in preparedness. And so we finish it off, Proverbs 21, 31, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. The New King James Version says deliverance is of the Lord. You see, no matter how well you arm for battle, victory is determined by Him. We know the great account of the Exodus. God's people delivered from Egypt. God's people delivered out of Egypt, and they're on their way to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Pharaoh and his army take to pursuit. They're after the people of God that they might bring them back to bondage. And they're hot on their heels, and the people of God come to this seemingly impassable body of water. They didn't have chariots and horses in the literal sense. And so what now? What do you do now? Exodus 14, please, if you have your Bibles. It's a good idea to bring your Bible to church when the big Bible ain't working, amen. Beginning of verse 9. So the Egyptians pursued them, all their horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were afraid, and the children of Israel cried to the Lord. And they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still, and see the salvation, that is the deliverance of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Perhaps that's the word some need today, hold peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud of darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. What we see here in the text is a people that needed to trust God. A people that need to trust God. No literal chariots and horses, but they could prepare for this battle. The call to prepare for this battle. The words that just read, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. Remember the Lord. And remember what just took place in Egypt and the charge to go forward. Chariots and horses, an improper trust in them. The voice of the Lord, as I've just read, the text says, "So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. I am the Lord." Gain honor, Lord. And he will gain honor. All the honor God's way. Well, the people, they're up against a people that trust in chariots and horses. Here's Pharaoh and his army hot on their heels. Verses 21 to 31, "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled," that is, he confused "the army of the Egyptians, and he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, 'Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen.' And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew," literally shook off, "the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained, but the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." The Egyptians overthrown. And yet, isn't it an Egyptian spirit, the trusting in chariots and horses? An Egypt spirit. Oh, that God would gain honor over every chariot and every horse. Psalm 76:6 says, "At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse were cast into a dead sleep." Some trust in chariots. Some trust in chariots. But you know, what happens when you get stuck? When the chariot gets stuck? What happens when you're stuck in a rut or in the mud? What happens when the wheels come off? And what happens when it turns to rust? When it no longer moves as it should? Some trust in horses. And yet, what happens when you lose the reins? What happens when the horse acts out, gone rogue beyond your control and strength? When they get loose, when they run off, when they break loose and take off. What happens when they revolt against you? Or when your horse goes lame or maimed or sickly? Or a blind horse or a problem with the hoof? You see, some only remember the name of the Lord their God when the wheels come off. Or when the horse takes off, when the chariot fails, or when the horse finally gives up the ghost. Remember the name of the Lord your God always, not just when the chariot and horse is in trouble. Some trust in chariots and in horses. Yes, some. You know, if we have a chariot and a horse, sure, prepare. Make ready. But always remember and never forget that safety and deliverance and victory, it all comes from the Lord. God wants to put his hand on you. Think a man can outrun a chariot? Is it possible? The words of Gary Wilkerson, Jezreel was known as a city of chariots. It excelled in warfare because of its vast fleet of iron vehicles made for swift movement in battle. Chariots represent the strength of man. They signify the power to speed ahead with great agility, the ability to accomplish something through a powerful, dominating resource. Today, there is a chariot lifestyle, one of comfort and ease, where all our needs are provided. If we need something, we write a check for it. If we want to do something, we just go ahead and do it. To the Christian, the chariot lifestyle can have a great appeal. In the world standard of success, we see impressive chariots and stallions. These are the means, and we're using this example here, he's using it, this identification. These are the means, the material wealth that provide people with ease, security, and comfort at all times. But the servant of God does not seek those things primarily. Instead, he seeks to obey his master's voice and pursue the concerns of his kingdom. The Christian learns early in his faith walk that by pursuing the Lord first, all these things will be added to him. Matthew 6:33. This same believer sometimes may find himself without the needed resources to do certain things for his family. He doesn't see his calling or ministry being fulfilled, so he is tempted to think the resources are out there and the world is using them to great effect, but I don't have any of them. I need to accomplish God's work, and I need them to accomplish God's work. How can I get a hold of them? Elijah knew better than to look to the world's resources. Imagine the scene as he addressed King Ahab. There stood the king perched high in his brilliant chariot, towering over the lowly prophet. Yet Elijah spoke boldly to Ahab. He said, "Prepare your chariot and go down," 1 Kings 18:44. Next we read, "The hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to Jezreel." God's man outran a chariot over a distance of many miles. How did Elijah accomplish this? The phrase "gathered up his garment" means essentially to gird up your loins, which means that he prepared himself. The Apostle Paul tells us we have been called by God to run a race. Peter refers to this race also when he tells us to gird up our loins, gird up the loins of your mind. He is saying we need to prepare ourselves for the contest by reinforcing our belief and trust in the Lord. When you see chariots in front of you carrying people swiftly toward their goals, don't despair. Do not be dismayed at the power they have and you lack. God has a different way for you. When you set your eyes on the Father and let his powerful hand come upon you, you too can outrun chariots. Remember the name of the Lord your God. Get his hand on you. Incredible picture. A king and his chariot and horses perched high, a brilliant sight, a sight to behold, towering high, towering above the lowly man of God. But look, the hand of the Lord. 1 Kings 18:46, "Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." Other translations say, "The power of the Lord came on Elijah." The Lord gave his power to Elijah. The strength of the Eternal filled Elijah. We are talking about special strength. We're talking about supernatural strength, the very power of God, an enabling of God. You see, by God, we can outrun chariots. The Amplified, then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, giving him supernatural strength. How many needs some supernatural strength? He girded up his loins and outran Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel, nearly 20 miles. That's the hand of God. A man of God outrunning a king and his chariot for nearly 20 miles. Simply incredible. Gird up your loins. It's a day to reinforce our belief, a day to reinforce our trust in the Lord, in the name of the Lord our God. These times we are in and the times we will enter into, we need now to reinforce our belief and our trust in God. And someone's saying, well, he didn't gird up his loins until the hand of the Lord came upon him. Fair enough. Elijah takes off running, and you know, he might have thought, this is crazy, I'm out running a chariot. Or it might just be that he wasn't surprised. Wasn't surprised in the least. He knew his God. He knew the power of his God. He had reinforced belief and trust in his Lord. You see, Elijah was prepared, and he was prepared to gird up his loins at any moment. He knew how to move. Remember the Lord. Trust in the Lord your God. Reinforce belief in the Lord. Trust in chariots and horses. Well, there's only one make and breed to trust in. The chariots and horses of fire. The Lord's chariots and horses. We don't need to take in the text today, but you know when Elijah was caught up to glory, and there's Elisha, and he saw the chariots and horses of fire. Or when Elisha prayed that the Lord would open up the young man's eyes, and some eyes need to be open, that God would open up the eyes of even the young, and they would see chariots and horses of fire. Lord, open eyes this day. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. Well, there was a time when the prophet Jeremiah questioned the Lord. You ever question God? His question, you know, it's a common one. Perhaps as old as civilization itself. Why this? Why that? And you know, the Lord doesn't pull back or shrink back from such questions. Let me read it today, Jeremiah 12, verses 1 to 4. I'm reading from the NIV. Jeremiah chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. You are always righteous, Lord, when I bring a case before you. Yet I would speak with you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease? You have planted them, and they have taken root. They grow and bear fruit. You are always on their lips, but far from their hearts. Yet you know me, Lord. You see me and test my thoughts about you. Drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter. How long will the land lie parched and the grass in every field be withered because those who live in it are wicked? The animals and the birds have perished. Moreover, the people are saying, he will not see what happens to us. You know, perhaps we've uttered such words. And the Lord listened to Jeremiah and the Lord gave answer. We don't need to take in the entirety of the answer this day. Verse 5 will speak. Verse 5, the Lord said to Jeremiah, if you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? New King James Version, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? Floodplain, thicket. The Amplified Classic, if you have raced with men on foot and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with horses? And if you take to flight in the land of peace where you feel secure, then what will you do when you tread the tangled maze of jungle haunted by lions in the swelling and flooding of the Jordan? You know what God's saying? God's saying, Jeremiah, trust me. Jeremiah, trust in me. Jeremiah, you contending with men? Jeremiah, I want to enable you to contend with horses. Remember me, Jeremiah. Remember my name. I've got you, Jeremiah, and I've got this. And so we ask today, can this wear out a prophet? Can this wear out a Christian? The Message paraphrase, you are right, God, and you set things right. I can't argue with that. But I do have some questions. Why do bad people have it so good? Why do con artists make it big? You planted them, and they put down roots. They flourished and produced fruit. They talk as if they're old friends with you, but they couldn't care less about you. Meanwhile, you know me inside and out. You don't let me get by with the thing. You ever talked with God like this? Make them pay for the way they live, pay with their lives like sheep marked for the slaughter. How long do we have to put up with this? This country depressed, the farms in ruin, and all because of wickedness, these wicked lives. Even animals and birds are dying off because they'll have nothing to do with God and think God has nothing to do with them. If you run at the footman and they wearied you, if they tired you out, how on earth can you contend with horses? How on earth can you contend with chariots and horses? We're not going to read it today, but I'd encourage you to read Psalm 73. David had a lot of questions. He didn't really know. He's dealing with things, struggling with things. Kind of like Jeremiah. There's this beautiful line in Psalm 73. You know what it says? All this that he was dealing with, he said, when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me, troublesome in my eyes. And then that next line, until I went into the sanctuary of God. You know, perhaps we're weary with this weariness, contending with footmen, or be it the man on the horse. Talk with God. Go to God. He answered Jeremiah. He will answer you. And like the psalmist, pour out your heart. You know, he's your father. And like the psalmist, get into the sanctuary of God. God is with you. He will hold you by your right hand. He will guide you by his counsel, his strength. He is the strength of your heart and your portion forever. It is good to trust God. It is good for us to draw near to God. Put your trust in the Lord. Reading from Psalm 73, the message, when I tried to figure it out, I don't know what you're trying to figure out today. I know what I'm trying to figure out. And I know things that I've tried to figure out. And I can only imagine if we went around this room today saying, I'm trying to figure this out, next person. Well, I'm trying to figure this out. And maybe you've figured something out that they're trying to figure out. You know what I'm saying? When I tried to figure it out, all I got was a splitting headache until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I saw the whole picture, the living Bible. Then one day I went into God's sanctuary to meditate and thought about the future of these evil men. That's David's words. That's what he was trying to figure out. The NLV, it was too hard for me when I tried to understand this until I went into the holy place of God. The NIV, when I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God. Are we here this day? We're trying to figure it out on our own. Some trust in chariots and horses, trying to figure it out on our own, you know, like trusting in the chariot of the mind. Round and round it goes. Or trusting in the horses of human understanding, plodding along, trotting, and then racing. Go to God, get in his sanctuary and park the chariot and tie up the horse. The Knox Bible, I set myself to read the riddle, but it proved a hard search until I betook myself to God's sanctuary. In the Passion Translation, when I tried to understand it all, hallelujah. You got to put your trust in the paper Bible, you know what I'm saying? And it wasn't their fault, I'm sure it was mine. When I tried to understand it all, I just couldn't. It was too puzzling, too much of a riddle to me. But then one day I was brought into the sanctuaries of God. And in the light of glory, my distorted perspective vanished. We must remember the Lord. We must trust in the Lord, not in chariots and horses. You know, the Lord wants to meet with us. The Lord wants to minister to us. The Lord wants to put his hand on us. The Lord wants to enable us to contend with footmen and not grow weary, to contend with horses and not grow weary, to outrun chariots, be it a mile or be it 20. And maybe you're in the house of the Lord today and you're saying, God, help me. I need you, Lord. I've been trusting in other things, Lord. Boasting of other things, praising other things, making mention of other things. I've been relying on other things. God, I need you. I'm coming to you in humility. Lord, I don't want to trust in chariots and horses unless they be the chariots and horses of fire. Lord, I don't want my trust in things that can rust and end up lame. I want you, Lord. Lord, I want to be free of envy, all types. Lord, I'm here to wait on you, for I know what your word says. Your word says that those who wait on you, those who wait on the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Lord, I want to be like the men who joined David. I want to join you, the greater David. I want to join you, Lord, at the stronghold in the wilderness. Make me mighty, a person of valor, trained for battle, that I can handle shield and spear with a face like the face of a lion, and God, that I be as swift as gazelles on the mountains. Is there anything today in our lives, and I search myself and ask God to search me, is there anything today in our lives that we are trusting in rather than the Lord? And the honor that should be his is being given to that which it shouldn't be. Might the Lord take the wheels off the chariot, that he might gain the honor? Or might we halt wheeling honor on that which we shouldn't? You know, Isaiah 31:1, it's not on the big Bible, it says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in the horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. Psalm 33:17, a horse is a vain hope, a false hope. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. We can have the worship team return today. Well, is there one like the Ethiopian in this place? You know, perhaps you are even a man or a woman of great authority. And there you are, the picture, sitting in your chariot reading. Reading but not understanding. Has someone given you a Bible? Did you once attend a place of worship and returned home with the Bible? And the picture, you're sitting in your chariot reading but not understanding. And you're reading, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. He's saying, I need guidance. I need help. Well, good news. Today there's a man on the run come to overtake your chariot. Ask him to come and sit with you. Acts 8, 34 to 39, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Peter said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Understanding this day. Understanding that it's Jesus. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. It's Jesus, the perfect, sinless Son of God. He was slain for you. Maybe you were given a Bible, you don't totally understand this. It's Jesus. He was slain for you to pay the penalty for your sins. That's how much he loves you. He laid down his life for you. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe Jesus is the Son of God. Believe and begin the journey today. Believe and begin growing in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Believe and go on to baptism. Be water baptized, repent, believe and be baptized. Be baptized. You know, it's important. And here, I guess, just a little plug. Perhaps it's time to halt your chariot. Command your chariot to stand still and be baptized. And then be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You know, God has a plan for you. God has a specific way for you. Set your eyes on him, on the Father, and let his powerful hand come upon you. There is no doubt if you will go to God, if you will remember the name of the Lord your God, put your trust in him, reinforce trust and belief in God, he will put his hand on you, and you too will outrun chariots. It's the Lord. It's got to be the Lord. The name of the Lord our God. Jehovah, the existing one. You know, there are some in this house this morning, and you're dealing with things, and you have no answer. You're dealing with things, and you can't fix it. Only God. And so you got to remember God. You got to trust God. You got to believe, and you're saying, well, that just sounds way too spiritual. Are we not a spiritual people? We're on another level. We're not on the natural level. We got to trust God. Someone needs provision. Trust God. Jehovah Jireh, provider more than any chariot or horse. You need healing in the house today. Jehovah Rapha, a healer. Chariots and horses can't heal. Jehovah Nissi, victory, greater victory than all chariots and horses of all time could ever deliver. Jehovah Emkadesh, sanctifier. Chariots and horses don't sanctify. Careful, they can desecrate and defile. Jehovah Shalom, peace, true peace, lasting peace, peace that surpasses. Jehovah Rohi, shepherd, only God. Jehovah Tzidkenu, righteousness. He is righteousness and he is our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, felt presence like no chariot or horse could ever offer. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. For us, it's Jehovah. For us, it's the Lord. Well, I feel to share these words. It's out of the treasury of David. Verse 6, contrasts frequently bring out the truth vividly. And here the church sets forth the creature confidences of carnal men in contrast with her reliance upon Prince Emmanuel and the invisible Jehovah. Some trust in chariots and others in horses. Chariots and horses make an imposing show. And with all their rattling and dust and fine comparisons, make so great a figure that vain man is much taken with them. Yet the discerning eye of faith sees more in an invisible God than in all these. The most dreaded war engine of David's day was the war chariot, which mowed down men like grass. This was the boast and glory of the neighboring nations. But the saints considered the name of Jehovah to be a far better defense. As the Israelites might not keep horses, it was natural for them to regard the enemy's cavalry with more than usual dread. It is, therefore, all the greater evidence of faith that the bold songster, the psalmist, can here disdain even the horse of Egypt in comparison with the Lord of hosts. Alas, how many in our day who profess to be the Lord's are as abjectly dependent upon their fellow men or upon an arm of the flesh in some shape or other, as if they had never known the name of Jehovah at all. Jesus, be thou alone our rock and refuge, and never may we mar the simplicity of our faith. We will remember the name of the Lord our God in covenant, who has chosen us and whom we have chosen. This God is our God. The name of our God is Jehovah, and this should never be forgotten. The self-existent, independent, immutable, ever-present, all-filling I Am. Let us adore that matchless name and never dishonor it by distrust or creature confidence. Reader, you must know it before you can remember it. May the blessed Spirit reveal it graciously to you. Some trust in chariots and horses, but we live on a different level. And so let's adore the matchless name and forever honor it by trusting. You know, I don't know what the chariot and the horse might represent in each individual's world, but the Lord knows. God knows. He sees. And so today it's a day. Lord, I don't place my trust in these things. I place my trust in you. Lord, we reinforce trust and belief in you today. God, for those in the house that are struggling, Lord, and perhaps it's just what's happened. They've trusted in chariots and the wheels have come off. Or they've trusted in horses, however that speaks, and the horses ended up lame. But God, you're merciful. You're gracious, Lord. It says in your word that mercy triumphs over judgment. So we come to you today, Lord, and if we need just to repent in this place, in your sanctuary, God. And then, Lord, we make it our vow we're coming back to full trust in you, not in things that rust, not in things that break down, Lord. All our hope is in you, God. All our faith is in you, Lord. Lord, for those in the room today that, God, they're dealing with very serious situations. And it's like they're helpless. They can't fix it. They can't do anything. Whatever it is today, Lord, we know that nothing is impossible with you. And in those moments, Lord, I pray that we would remember just to hold peace. Sometimes we just need to stand still. Even as your word says, God, you're fighting for us. You're with us, Lord. You never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, we just declare your power and your name over situations today, Lord, those that need a touch from you. Lord, even physically in this place, God, and perhaps there's no answers in the world. You've gone to the chariot and the horse, even the medical realm, Lord, and there's no answer, but God, there's an answer with you. So we just declare your healing power in the house today, God. Do what only you can do. Lord, you created these bodies. You knit these bodies together. So, Lord, today by your grace and mercy, we ask that you would quicken mortal bodies. Bring healing even now in your house. Lord, those that need provision today, God, not looking to the world, but seeking first the kingdom of God. Your righteousness, Lord, and all these things shall be added. We know you're a good God. You're working everything out. And Lord, let's remember, help us to remember, Lord, that even when we can't see it, you're working, God, you're moving.